And so I would like to call this study session to order. Our president, Susan Fowler, is not able to be with us today, so I'm filling in for her. Stephanie, could you do the roll call, please?
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omo Asagie.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Julian Rappaport. Ann Robin. Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Thank you. Before we get started with our study session, we have time for public participation, citizen input. And if there is anyone, may I remind you, we like to keep those to 5 minutes apiece. Is there anyone, any citizen input? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to approval of the agenda. I need that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No? Thank you. As I said, Susan can't be with us, but Lynn and I have been in touch with her. She's out of town, and so we kind of fashioned a procedure. We have four big topics to cover if we have time for that, and we have two blocks of new information to consider. One is the first thing we'll look at is the answers that agencies sent to us in writing from the questions that the staff and the board sent to them, and those have been sent back to us divided up that way. So, and the other thing we have that's new is the staff's funding recommendations, which will come later. So, we're going to go through to be sure that we say everything and ask every question we need to ask. We're going to go through each of the applications, not go through it, but I will bring up each application. Heavens, we're not going through them again. And I will ask that if the first and second, those two primary readers are satisfied with the answers they got from the agencies, and if they have any further questions, then we'll throw that open to the board if there's anything else, and then we will move on to the next application. Okay, that's how we're going to do this. And so the first one in your packet, we're going to look at pages 2 to 68. And the first one is the Justice Diversion Program. And that was Julian Rappaport and Tom Moore.
No, as I looked at the responses that they've given, they seem to be to cover the questions that we'd asked both either as staff or as board members. I just wonder if there's a way for this information to make itself present on the original proposal, or is this just the nature of giving a proposal that it's not always clear, and so the opportunity to clarify, because clearly they have the information to ask the question, so it wasn't like a new question unthought of for them. So I thought that the questions were thoroughly answered. I had no further questions to them about that.
Justice Diversion Program. Okay. The next application in the list is the Youth Assessment Center, and that was Judy O'Connor and Joe Omo Asagie.
I know my question was about the OVA identification of African American youth. The answer is adequate. I just would like to see looking at the community a lot better so that we are not over-identifying just a segment of people and saying these are our potential kids that need an intervention on. So it's adequate.
I appreciated the response about our involvement in the school with the youth. I think that's something very important to our community, and so I was glad to have that clarified.
All right. Any other comments, questions from the rest of the board for the Youth Assessment Center? Okay, we'll move on to, I'm sorry, didn't see you.
Well, I apologize for arriving late, and I'm having a hard time figuring out where you are in the paper.
You go to pages 2 to 69, which is the first, is A on your agenda, and we're going through all 36 applications.
Right.
Not going through them, but we're...
Highlighting them.
Not, I keep saying that, not going through them, but we're looking at...
What page are we on right now?
Five and
okay.
Six.
Yeah. And so what we're doing is simply asking the two principal readers...
Right. I got that.
Know,
I just couldn't find the place in the paper.
Okay.
Where are... Which...
Right. There's an index on page 2. Hopefully.
Right.
It
yeah.
only tells you the first page of the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So where we are, let's see. We've done the first two. We're on the second one, the Youth Assessment Center.
Right. Okay.
And if you don't have a question, we'll go on to three.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. That's all right.
I just was not able to find where we were.
Okay. So the next one is the counseling program at Family Service, and that's Joe and Julian.
I have nothing to add to it. Adequate and okay.
Okay. Anybody else from the board have a question about that one? All right. We'll move on to First Followers, their peer mentoring for reentry, and I was the first reader and Susan the second. If anyone is here from First Followers, this was a very good response. There was context that was extremely useful. And what the question that Susan and I both, I think, were especially circling around was how the peer mentors are trained, how you work that in, how they're characterized. And as I was reading the First Followers response, an image came to me of a burning house. And when a house is burning down and people come to help you, you don't say, excuse me, are you a certified firefighter? You say, here's a bucket and we'll show you what to do. And just thinking that way made me understand a little better. We have more than one program that uses peer mentors. And I think that's really the difference in looking at a kind of a formal training and formal education way, that this is kind of training for sure, but not in the kind of traditional way. So I thought the First Followers' response was very good. So, Kyle, we are... Going.
I'm up to date. I'm getting him.
You're getting him up to date. All right. Okay. Okay. And you haven't had to say anything yet, Kyle. We haven't come to one of your applications, so we're fine. Okay. So we will move on to the criminal justice, the Rosecrans criminal justice application, and that was Susan and Judy O'Connor. And yeah, that's, I should be announcing the pages. That is on page 14 of your packet. I should have been doing that.
I had no further questions.
Okay, and anything from the other board members for the Criminal Justice Rosecrans Program? All right, then we'll go to the Rosecrans Fresh Start, and that's Tom and Ann Robin. And
I thought they answered the questions well. I just wondered if further, if there's any way to have any conversation with them about question one, how are the results of the evidence-based adult needs and strengths assessment of value if they're not scored? And their answer was, well, they use those, that assessment for when they're working with individuals, not as an aggregate. And it seems to me that if you would aggregate that information, that would tell us a great deal of how well the program itself is doing. And is there a way that we can maybe do that as well as having it being used on an individual basis? It might help us, because we're always talking about the kinds of evaluations we want from programs. This might, if we just extend this a little bit, we might be able to get an awful lot of information about the program itself.
Okay.
So that's all I had to say.
Do you want to have the agency respond to that? Here?
Yeah.
Or is it okay?
Well, I don't know. We didn't talk about that.
I know we didn't.
Point of procedure here. Yeah. And the point of procedure is that we didn't really talk about is these are, you know, these questions are very follow-up and much shorter, and do we want to just ask somebody from the agency to answer that?
If we make the award, mm-hmm. that we start talking about using those
okay.
in a much broader fashion than we do now.
Okay, fine. Ann, did you have something to add? No. Okay. And then the specialty courts, for Rosecrans, also that program, Ann and Margaret White. And that's on page 16.
I did not have any further comments on that.
No.
Anybody else on the board? Okay. So that's our first, that completes the first tier of priorities, the applications. So we will move to the ones grouped under innovative practices and access to community-based behavioral health services. And the first one there is the Community Service Center of Northern Champaign County, Resource Connection, and Kyle and I had that one. This was a very good application to start with. It had very sharp context. And so we only had one small question, and it was answered. Does anyone else have anything on that? No. Okay. The next application was from Cunningham Children's Home, the Independent Living Opportunities, and that's a new program. Tom and Ann were the primary readers on that.
The answer to the first question left me still wanting more detail. As I read the answer, the things like, let's see, what's the question? As a new venture, more detail on outreach and coordination for existing homelessness service would be useful. What relationship does the agency or program have with the continuum of care, counsel, and service providers? As I read that, and the answer is that we develop relationships with the local shelters, Phoenix Center, Daily Bread, Courage Connection. That sounds like a list of who they're working with. It doesn't tell me what that relationship, what's Phoenix Center going to be doing, what's Daily Bread going to do, and what's Courage. So I still don't know the answer to what relationships have been developed. I know who they're with, but what's going on wasn't clear to me. And then on question number three, that's fine.
Well, I don't know. I interpret that they did answer the question. Buried in the paragraph, they said Cunningham was invited to join the continuum of care and plans to engage with this group on an ongoing basis. Does that satisfy or not really?
Well, I mean, that sounds like that answers the one about the continuum of care, but
yeah.
I still don't know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Not like...
Well, I don't think they're doing anything yet because I'm just trying to get the program off the ground. I think they're exploring options, and they have, the way I interpret this and their application is that they have identified that there is a real need for these older youth who do basically just drop out at age 18, and they're exploring options for doing continuum of care for those youth.
So why would you pick Phoenix Center, Daily Bread, and Courage Connection versus some other thing? I mean, there must be a reason that you're using these institutions. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, just from the perspective of somebody who works in homeless services, the response to like the question you just had, the reason why those are listed is, I mean, that's like the absolute list of resources for homeless services. Because like as I read that, I was just trying to think to myself, like, what would I add to it? And I mean, those are like the agencies to work with. But I do agree with your original question that I don't think that they really did answer the question. Because I mean, the language developed a relationship. That's the language they used. And like, again, like drawing on my experiences, I think really the extent of the relationship would be a referral point. I mean, you can coordinate, you know, to figure out, you know, where they are in the process with them and figure out how to get them resources. But I think that would be my assumption that the main use would be to understand what those agencies are doing and be able to refer the youth and make sure your case managers or whoever's going to be doing this has that knowledge. But that's an assumption, and I agree, they didn't answer the question.
Did you, Margaret?
And I guess it's just how
it was flashing, sorry. So I read it that they've already been involved with all of these groups and on the Human Services Council where they're already collaborating with the service providers, but they want to make sure that they when the kids turn 18, they're just not off the grid. So, and to help them with homeless. So
maybe a little, sounds like need a little clarification. Anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
Don't make them do it if I'm the only one that's feeling that way. Okay.
If you have three
different interpretations. No, I mean, I hear the connection there's because one of the things about that we know that after between ages 18 and 21 with youth at Cunningham or agencies such as that there is a drop off and quite a few of his young men, predominantly young men, either end up in the justice system or are homeless. And so trying to make sure that the connection remains, and I think that's why these are listed as parts of the connections that will keep them as within the community of care. That's what I saw.
And this is, of course, a new program, and we would assume that those things would be teased out as it's rolled out, if it receives an award. Anything else on the independent living opportunities? Okay, we will move to the Family Service Self-Help Center. That was, I was second, and Kyle was the first on that one. Did you have anything?
Not really. I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of satisfied with the responses.
Yeah, my question was just about tabulating calls, and that has, you know, so that we get a good picture of how many contacts they have, and that has been answered. So anybody else have a question about this, the Family Service Self-Help Center? No? Okay. Then the Senior Counseling and Advocacy, also with Family Service. That is Joe, and then Julian, who isn't here.
I do not have anything to add. I from what we talked about the last time, it seemed as if the question was answered.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go to Grow in Illinois, and that's Tom and Ann. And that's on page 23 of our packet.
I'm with you.
Well, I should have done that at the beginning.
I thought, as you did about first followers, I felt that these were just very clarified the request that were made for them was very well, and these folks really do know what they're talking about and can give very precise, direct, focused responses to the questions. And I walk away thinking these guys know their program, so I didn't have anything to add.
Okay.
To them.
Any other comments for Grow? No? Okay. So we move to Promise Healthcare Wellness, and that's Ann and Margaret. On 24. Anything?
I can go. I think they answered the questions. And
yeah, I didn't have a lot of questions anyway. I thought their application was quite good to start out with. And we've got just a little bit here, and excellent. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Anything else for the wellness program through Promise Healthcare? No? Okay, so Rattle the Stars, the Youth Suicide Prevention Education, another new program, and Kyle and I had that one. Kyle, do you have anything?
Not really. They had very long responses.
Yeah.
Very thorough.
Yeah, I think it was maybe a little underreported to start with because it's a new program and not quite knowing how much to put down, but I thought the responses were very good. Thank you. Okay, anything else on Rattle the Stars?
The direct response to Dr. Rappaport's question. Mentioning him by name.
To the another new program is the Rosecrans Recovery Home, and that was Susan and Judy.
Well, I know we've been told that they're moving. I know that they indicated that they were moving ahead, hoping to have it in place, but I don't have any information of what is followed up with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a response.
Do you have information?
No.
No. Okay, I thought maybe. That's the one, the finding. Okay.
Just the response says they would be closing down the home by the end of June. And then we expect
Anything else for the recovery home program? All right, then we go to UCP Land of Lincoln Vocational Training and Support. And Kyle, you were the first reader, and I was the second reader.
I didn't really have anything to add.
Nor do I. I mostly was asking about if it was the same as the DD program they run and how long the support would last, and those things have been answered. So I was satisfied with those answers. Anyone else for the vocational training and support? Okay, well, that completes the second priority, and so we'll move to the other, you know, the renewals of programs that may align with an unselected priority. And that starts on page.
Oh, we might have
put
they
that
were,
in.
They were reversed.
Oh, that's right.
They were reversed at your earlier meetings for the sake of time. No. So in this index, you go to system of care.
Okay, that's right. So we won't get lost again in our own in our own packet. Thank you, Lynn. I turned the page and it wasn't there, and I forgot that. Okay, so we are going to put that priority block last and move to the system of care for children, youth, and families, because that's what comes next in our packet. And the first one there is the Children's Advocacy Center, and that was Susan Fowler and Judy. And it's on page 33.
I was glad we asked the questions that we did for the clarification, which makes the program clearer to me. And I have nothing to add. I appreciated their responses.
Okay. Anything else concerning that program? No? Okay. Then we'll go to the RPC's Head Start and Early Head Start, Early Childhood Mental Health Services. This is a new one also, and Tom and Ann were the reviewers.
Am I only allowed to review things with Ann?
Well, I was noticing.
Yes, there was a pattern.
This is a set of very good responses to the questions, and the last question I know when they're asked to estimate how many families they're going to be served. I know that agencies that deal with education, their numbers change during a year. So their response was absolutely was correct in what they gave us. So good job.
Anything else on the Head Start Mental Health Services? Kyle.
I feel like I'm nitpicking, but so for the question on the qualifications of the early childhood mental health position, it says a familiarity with conscious discipline, which is a social-emotional program, and I'm curious to know if that, when it says familiarity, that's it's a little vague for my taste, I guess. I'm wondering if they're doing workshops or training. I'd just be curious.
Which question is that?
Am I doing the right one?
Staff qualifications or credentials.
Anything else on the Head Start? Okay. The next one is the CU Neighborhood Champions. And it was Margaret and Kyle.
I thought that they answered the questions. I guess, and I actually evaluated the next one too. I wish there was some way they could merge their the two programs. I think that would be extremely helpful because of the activities involved and the client. I know it's a little bit different, but it seems like it would be, if you could coordinate activities, that would be more effective.
I have to agree with Margaret on that. I think we always have to look at administrative costs with all of our programs, and collaboration in any way that you can would be wonderful. As I read the two, it seemed like they are intertwined so much. Maybe I'm haven't seen it in practice. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the questions, question yeah. six. So.
Yeah,
so it's people notice that. Kyle, do you have a comment? Anybody else have a comment on that? Okay. Let's see. We move to the Margaret, you were really speaking to both programs. So, and I guess Judy was too. Anne, do you have anything on truce that you would like to pursue? One? Okay, so we will move to Courage Connection on page 42, and that was Susan Fowler and Judy.
I guess I'm excited to see how this new program works. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to our community. I think they answered the questions to the best, to the information that they could give us, and I'm excited to hear how it progresses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments on Courage Connection? Yeah, Margaret?
I think that when they talk about they're in the midst of strategic planning process, I think that's so essential for our agencies to look at now and then look at long term. Mm-hmm. So I want to commend them on that.
And they were one of the few applications that said that cultural competency and literacy is a standing agenda item. I liked that. Okay, Dream House is Judy and Joe.
I like the responses that that were given, and I see, and the breakdown of a specific, some more specifics of what, of how much the money and the revenue is going to be used across the board and how they expand into other age groups. And I don't have anything to add.
Mm-hmm.
They answered my questions. What I was concerned about was the staff and how they're going to cover everything. But I did read in the paper where United Way is also funding this mm-hmm. program, so it made me feel better that maybe they can grow their staff to support all of their goals.
Anything else for Dream House? Okay, the CU change of the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, that was Julian and Tom. You do get to be with somebody else.
They had to.
Not really.
See, I thought that they did a wonderful job of answering the questions, and they almost had to rewrite a whole application again because it seemed like we had an awful lot of questions for them to clarify, and they did exactly that. They clarified them, and they were very specific in how they did clarify them. So I felt very comfortable when I got done reading these responses that I pretty much knew the program well. One thing I did want to point out that I maybe this is inappropriate to do, but I'm going to try it anyway. I like in their first comment about how they conducted a focus group to kind of get themselves started on developing this program, and I thought that was very good thinking on their part, and maybe it does help us to know a little bit more about where this program comes from and all the answers or questions that we had for them. So I have nothing to add to what they've done.
Okay. Anyone else for CU Change? Okay, we'll move on to the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club Community Coalition Summer Initiatives, and that was Susan Fowler and me. And I think that was answered. We were, I think, had some questions about just how you count it all, because they serve as an administrative agent for these different summer programs. And I think that was, the funding goes to 14 different agencies, and we were wondering about how all that worked. So it was very good to get the subcontract allocations and other specific information on that. So I have no other questions. That was good answers. And Susan isn't here, so any other questions or comments?
Yeah. My only question, I think this coalition summer initiatives are fantastic, but my only question would be, is there a need for Dream House to be a subcontractor since there's a percentage out of it, and then maybe next year that amount just go direct to Dream House? Because you wouldn't have to pay the additional administrative fee from that. It would just go direct.
I think the reason that this is being done this way is that this is earmarked specifically for this summer initiative program. Whereas when you give the money to the or other organizations, the Dream or the Neighborhood Champions, they have other programs going on too, and this is earmarked for the summer initiatives. That's my understanding.
Ah, there he goes. Yeah, that was my understanding, too, actually, of that.
So it does make some sense.
Yeah, I thought so, since it originates with the coalition. That. Youth and Family Services, and that is Margaret and Kyle.
I had no additional questions.
I was a reviewer on the last one. But
you were what?
I don't have any questions for the summer.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Well, let's see. You were where now? I've got you. Yeah, we are on the Youth and Family Services. That's when we're on. And the Community Coalition Summer Initiatives was Susan Fowler and me. Not got that.
Yeah,
I was not, but I reviewed it. Yeah. So you are on Youth and Family Services for sure. Do you have a comment?
guess Lynn sending lies in emails.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I have the email. I don't know. It's not, I don't. We shouldn't dwell on it, though.
So
it's kind of a...
I think we all really want to read all of them, right? So, do so.
Who the reviewer was supposed to be? Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, are we set on youth and family services? So, Margaret, you are listed as.
I just have one comment that I think the I had reviewed it, and I'm looking at the second page of it. My only thing is the cost. I thought the cost per youth or family served was pretty high at $865 based on other service costs and the utilization referrals and using other programming. That was my only comment.
Anybody else on that program? Okay, we're going to move then to the Muhammad Area Youth Club's BLAST program, and that was, now I'm not confident that any of this is right. That was Julia.
That was my mistake, sorry.
Okay.
I was just my mistake.
Okay, the BLAST program was reviewed by Julian and Tom Moore, I think. Okay. All right. Any other comments for BLAST? All right. Then the second Muhammad Area Youth Club Macy Members Matter, that was Judy and Joe who reviewed that one.
Okay. I think they address the issues of cultural diversity experience for the youth. It's just something that they have to hold, keep up with it.
Okay. And
I thought they answered the questions well, and I was really excited to learn more about their organization involving themselves with Don Moyer's Boys and Girls Club. That is a real plus for their outreach.
Any other comments there? Tom?
I thought, likewise, that they had answered the questions. I just have a comment. It won't come on. I have just a comment to them as we work through this project of thinking about resources other than Chandra, not that she can't do it, but there's a whole host of things to do and to somehow be very creative with trying to answer the questions of culture and diversity and how they want to expose their children to it. I think just be expansive with it. And Chandra will do a good job, but there's a lot more that can be done. And without too much effort as well.
I mean, and we're in a relatively good area to have the young men and women experience that. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the Boys and Girls Club was a part of the Boys and Girls Club 20 plus years ago, and I'm glad that they're trying to get back involved with it.
So they had been connected there?
They were connected at the onset.
Yeah, I knew that.
And it kind of, I think it just kind of waned.
Okay.
Into succeeding years, and now they're trying to get back, especially with the way we see things in the larger community going.
Kyle has a question.
A couple quick questions since Tom stole all my positive comments. But I don't want to be too redundant with the compliments on just them embracing the diversity. I just had the questions I had is it mentions Fit Young Minds coming out weekly to deal with cultural diversity. I'm just curious to know what Fit Young Minds is. And it says that they've incorporating races, I assume that's the Rape Advocacy Counseling Education Services. And I'd just be curious to know what type of programming, like what that is specifically.
Okay, anything else on that program? Okay, let's keep moving. So we come to the Rosecrans program, Parenting with Love and Limits, and that was Julian and Tom. Tom, are you on every single one of these, not just with Ann?
No. They were only presented with one question, and I think they answered it quite well and cleared up what the concern was.
Okay. Do we have any other comments for that program? Okay. We'll move on then to the Rosecrans Prevention Services, and that was Judy and Joe.
I'm glad to know that we have a program that goes into our schools. It seems like I hope that they continue to try to incorporate the younger ages as I talk to educators and teachers. Our young people are very aware anymore, and we need not just have a cutoff of fifth grade or sixth grade. We need to think of the younger. So I hope that sometime in their program that will be a focus, and maybe they do more than I know.
Anything else?
No. Okay. All right, the next one is the UP Center of Champaign County, and that was Joe and Julian.
Okay. So the main, one of the main questions was, is the drop-in center still open? It's a limited amount of hours. I think they're looking to expand, and I think funding and also the outreach to the GSAs at the local middle schools and high schools are things that have been addressed also. I don't have the answer to the questions well, and I see them also expanding beyond Champaign-Urbana into the rural communities.
Okay, anything else about the UP Center? Okay, the next one was Urbana Neighborhood Connections Community Study Center, but there actually were no staff questions. There were no questions for that one. I will say that I accidentally went to their garage sale when I was picking up my son on Hartle Street, and that's always good when you see people fundraising, you know. So now we have a Batman cartoon cassette we didn't have before. So now we're going, if that's all about that that tier, now we're going to go back or forward to the block that was the ones we have, kind of ongoing commitment or may align with an unselected priority. There are five of those. And the first one is the crisis nurseries beyond blue. And that was, I was the primary and Susan was the secondary. And I thought the responses were very good. There were questions about has the Board of Health been approached, and they talk about that. And I was satisfied with that. I don't know what Susan would say, of course. Any other comments on the crisis nursery Beyond Blue program? The next one is the East Central Illinois Refugee Mutual Assistance Center, Family Support and Strengthening, and that is Ann and Margaret.
And there were no questions.
No questions.
So. Other commentary on that? Yeah, okay. So we'll go to Promise Healthcare's Mental Health Services. Margaret and Kyle. Anything there?
Yeah, we didn't. There were no questions on that.
No questions. Okay. There was a staff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, there was one, and it was answered.
Okay.
Is that you? Were you supposed to be first again? Sorry. No, I hear a second.
Who can say it? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the last one here is the Rosecrans Crisis Access and Benefits. And Susan and I were on that. And I do not have any questions. Those were answered to my satisfaction. Anybody have a question on that?
Did you get races?
Did I skip races? Yeah. I was looking right at it. I don't know why I did that. Okay. So I'm going to back up to races, and that is Joe and Julian.
I have nothing to add, and yes, education on this is very important, and I always ask them to ask for more money.
Yeah. Anything else to add about races? Okay, and then I inadvertently did crisis access and benefits already, but I don't believe there was anything else to say there. Okay. All right, so we have gotten through A of our agenda. And so we're going to go on to the B, which is the funding recommendations that are on page 69 to 81. And what Susan suggests doing here, and I do concur with her, is that we will bring these up in the tiers, you know, not individually. And then I would ask, just go around the board and ask each one of you for each tier, if you agree with the funding, if you want to bring up anything about that. Okay, and so we had $241,116 more in requests than in our estimated funds, and the staff, and I should of course thank the staff for everything to do with all of this. It's so much work, and it's, you know, really makes our job as easy as it's likely to get. And so on page 79, there's a breakout of agencies that for an amount lower than requested, so that's kind of easy to look at. And so each tier differs a little bit in how much, how close it came to the requested funds, I guess I would say. So so that's what I would. Do you have any comment here?
I have a question, because
because I can't understand.
We can't really vote?
No.
Okay. All right. That's what, all right.
No,
thank
I'll,
you.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Well, I think that what we learned last year when we brought you the decisions, mm-hmm. and you didn't have time to say, as a group, like, well, we would actually really like to change this particular recommendation. We're really interested in that input, and so this is the first time we've presented you with the recommendations before you have to vote on them. So if you as a group, and I think that's why you wanted to hear from everyone, are interested in us changing some recommendations or looking at it, we hope to send out the board packets for next week's meeting tomorrow. But, you know, I brought my draft to take notes on, and, you know, we're interested in your input and whatever we can do to make the decisions more likely for you to approve them next week. I think that we can, you know, as you said, the estimate of our funding next year is an estimate. So we won't have any more insight into how much revenue to expect until June. So there's nothing, I mean, we can't safely guess at exactly how much more we might have than that, but it's kind of always a guess. We don't even know how much money we have coming in this year until it comes. So we want to work with it, though. So,
yeah. Anne?
Just a suggestion for ease of readability. I found this a little bit difficult to read because each agency, if you just put it bold, then I'd be able to see when the agency starts in the, you know, the first part of what we've been discussing, because I was reading along and I was like, wait a minute, you know.
You mean the document we just gave?
Yeah, the document that you just gave us. For example, Rattle the Stars Youth Suicide Prevention looks exactly the same as Staff Questions and CCMHB. Just make the agency bold and it'll jump out at me and I'll know, oh, I'm reading something new. So that's a suggestion. I think you can do that really easily. And when it comes to the money, I know in the past you have given us the staff suggestion compared to what the agency request was so that we could look at those side by side.
Yeah, well, I put others in, so I can say that because I wrote them all in.
Oh, the requested amount is not listed.
Yeah, we included in the table.
Yeah.
Where is it? Yeah, it has. That's helpful to me to look at side by side because you have that that information. If you could, I'm looking at page 78, for example, in resource connection subtotal 6,596. How does that compare to what they asked for?
You know what? We can probably remember. I can remember a lot of them. I think Mark can too.
Well, no, all of them. I'm just giving that as an example. For all of the programs and agencies, if you could include right next to what the staff recommendation is, what did the agency request? So what's the change?
Elaine has it with her.
Okay. If you...
You
don't have to read them, but if you could give that to us in printed form, my eyeball likes looking at those numbers right next to each other, then I can understand.
Well, they're in the big blue packet form. That's
we've
all.
We've just never done that.
The original request, yeah. But I could read them for each one, each tier.
That sounds like that'd take a long time.
Okay.
I think it's okay. Really, we're recommending funding for a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it won't take that much time.
Yeah.
And if you go through it one tier at a time, we can do.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but I think I understand Ann's question. Like if you go to page 81.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you're right. It's not listed. We have never done that with this memo.
No, yeah, but and I may not have not read that memo because it was always included on this table. And so the question that she's asking, like, was very easy to figure out because it was right there. I don't know if reading it out right now would help or not, but,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do is look on page 77. We're going to start looking at the tiers. And as a tier, the recommendations are $38,550 less than the requests in this tier.
So the ones that are recommended at under the requested are the Youth Assessment Center?
Yeah.
The recommendation is the current year level. The request was $79,000?
Mm-hmm.
And then First Followers is recommended at about, I think it's about 11,000 more than the current year is the recommendation, but the request was 105,900.
Yeah.
And then the next one is,
I think everything is the
everything else is
everything
as requested.
Everything else is the same in that tier.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same or more. So go ahead, Mark.
Thank you. With the exception of the Crisis Access and Benefits Program, the Prevention Program, these are the Rosecrans Crisis Access and Benefits. That program is a little bit less than what they requested for this year. And then Rosecrans's Prevention Services gets less than what they requested. And then UCP gets a reduction from the amount they received last year. Only Rosecrans and UCP actually, as a total agency, receive less than what they received last year. Every other program either gets the same amount, or every other agency gets either the same amount or an increase over what they received last year. It's just a matter of how close they get to between what they received last year and what they requested this year. Sorry to interrupt the discussion.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Mark.
That's on page 11, or not 11, but that's actually on the last page before the where it says exceeds allocation parameters. That information is listed there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we understanding now that we're going to go through the tiers, and I will ask each one of you if you have any issues with the numbers in that tier, and we'll hear from everybody for each tier individually, that so that we don't spend... Yes, we're going to start. Yes, we are going to start with behavioral supports for people with justice system involvement. That includes the Justice Diversion Program, the Youth Assessment Center, Family Service Counseling, First Followers, and three Rosecrans programs, Criminal Justice PSC, Fresh Start, and Specialty Courts. So I could start on either side. Kyle, do you have any comments on the funding recommendations for that tier? No. Okay. Ann?
No.
No? I do not either. Joe?
No.
Nothing comes up? Tom?
I don't think I do. It depends on another question that I...
Mm-hmm.
I think last year
we could do that again this year. So it's a guess, and I was very conservative last year with our budget. Like, I hope never to be that conservative again, because we don't, we're not trying to save money. So, yeah. Okay.
Did you have something, is there something you want if there is more money?
Okay, thank you, Tom. Margaret, that tier, the behavioral health tier, do you have any issue? No? Judy?
No.
Okay. So we'll move on. I do thank the staff for these. You know, when you get down to the dollar amount like this, I know you've the precise last dollar amount, I know you've spent a lot of time on this. So we will look at the tier for innovative practices and access to community-based behavioral health services. That includes the resource connection, the independent living opportunities, family service self-help center, family service senior counseling and advocacy, Grow in Illinois, the Promise Healthcare Wellness, Rattle the Stars, Rosecrans Recovery Home, and UCP Land of Lincoln.
So in this tier, everything we're recommending is as requested, except for the UCP. And that's just based on not meeting targets this year. So,
you know, this is, I feel like this meeting is a kind of luxury, this study session, because we were just right up against these funding numbers last year when we were voting. So this is great to just be sure that everybody's, you know, got a chance for your last comment. So, Ann?
I see the little, I don't know what this sign is.
What it means is
carrot. But you're going to require a mid-year report,
yeah,
because these are new initiatives.
Yeah.
I think that's very good.
Okay. So we'll just start back with you, Kyle. In this tier, do you have any comments or concerns?
Yes. Sorry.
Innovative practices, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess more just like a technicality question of why Rattle the Stars is in this category as opposed to System of Care for Children, Youth, and Families.
Mm-hmm. They selected the category. We did. I think last year Mark and I redecided, you know, and put programs in the categories we felt were best matched, but we didn't do that this year. But yeah,
and to be clear, I don't have an issue with that. I'm not offended. I was just curious.
we just thought we'll just let agencies choose. But see, I would also see some of these as maybe belonging in more than one priority area too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you have any other? So you're okay with the rest of that? Okay, Anne, for this tier.
I already made my comment out of turn.
Okay, and I have no problems with the funding recommendations for this tier either. Joe?
I have no problem.
Good. Okay, Tom's okay with it? Yeah. Margaret?
Yeah.
Okay. And Judy? Okay, fine. All right, then, we'll look at System of Care for Children, Youth, and Families. And this one is the biggest category, and therefore that's where more of the shortfall is, just because they're more. But that includes Children's Advocacy Center, the Head Start Mental Health Services, CU Neighborhood Champions, Truce, Courage Connection, Dream House, CU Change, the Community Coalition Summer Initiatives, Youth and Family Services at Don Moyer, BLAST, the Macy Members Matters, Parenting with Love and Limits, Rosecrans Prevention Services, the Children, Youth, and Family Programs of the UP Center, and the Urbana Neighborhood Connections Community Studies Center. So we'll just keep going back around. Kyle, do you have any comments or issues? All right. And the, well, I should have said we were telling you if there was.
Yeah, there are a bunch in this category.
Yeah, that are. Yeah, a number of the ones in this category have a difference between funding and what was requested.
Right.
For example, Truce is recommended at $50,000, and it they asked for $122,000, I believe. So some of these are, and they are funded at. They were funded at 75.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was some movement in this category. And the. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say something. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
I was thinking about the earlier comments about those two programs. We did. These were sort of confusing, I think. And so the total that they're receiving this year for those two programs is $95,000, and this would put them at $100,000. But it's a really interesting idea to put them into one contract. We had actually talked about that, too. So that could be a contract negotiation point to see if that works better for the organization, too. But okay.
Okay. Kind of lost my place in what I was doing now. Where were we? We were starting this category.
Yeah.
Okay. We've been all the way around on two. All right. So I'll go back to you, Kyle, and see if you have anything about this, any objection or okay.
And yeah, I just have one question about the Rosecrans PLL program. What does convert contract from grant to fee for service mean?
Right now, it is a grant. They get 12 monthly payments, and we would take it from being a grant to a performance-based contract where we would negotiate a rate payable. Based on the number of families that they serve that either participate in groups or graduate from the program, that based on that. They would be paid a X amount, and it would if they don't serve a set number of families, they would not be able to bill for payment. So if the clinical minimum right now is 90, if they only served half that, they would only be able to bill for half their contract. They would only be paid half the contract.
Billing the mental health.
Yes, billing the mental health board. There's the incentive to engage the families and get them to graduate from the program. We don't, as staff, we don't recommend this lightly to the board, but considering the discussion that the board has had and the concerns that have been expressed, and I think the concerns we all share over the performance of the program over this past year and the issues the board raised at this time last year, that we felt that moving it from a grant to fee-for-service was a fair recommendation. You as the board can certainly choose to do something else.
Okay.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yes. Thanks, Mark. I should have said that in this tier, 10 of the proposals are part of the community coalition work. So, and then, as Ann mentioned, 4 will require mid-year reports. And I don't have myself, I like that fee-for-service idea a lot. And so I don't have anything else myself. Joe, for this tier?
Mm-hmm. I don't have any objection to it. I just had a comment, and it is based on that PLL stuff. Mainly that I'm impressed with the way the board and Rosecrans have worked in the last year or two, because we've had real comments, a real concern about the cost of this program, and they seem to have done a great job in trying to bring that down as low as they can, and then with the fee for service to keep that going. So I like what you guys have all done together to kind of bring that under some control. So thank you for that.
Same, my comments, I'm glad we're going to do it to fee for service. And one of the things I still think that could be a possibility for Rosecrans is to look at how can you find a program if you're doing brief family therapy. I know there's a number of different programs, but how to utilize another program, look into other programs, not by the Savannah Institute, just because there are similar programs, and you're never sustainable as long as you're paying out that $129,000 or whatever a year. So that's really my only concern. And as somebody who studied brief family therapy, I think we have, and Rosecrans certainly has, and we have enough qualified therapists within our area who could do something similar or look into another program. And the data is pretty easy for all of us collecting data now with Excel or utilizing the resources that we have. That's really how can we make our program sustainable? Thank you.
Oh, I have no objections to this tier.
Okay, and then our last group is the other and renewal, and that elusive other that we hear about. And there's only a $7,000 difference in this group between the requests and the recommendations, but this includes crisis nursery, the refugee center's family support and strengthening program, Promise Healthcare's mental health services, RACES, and Rosecrans's crisis access and benefits. Anything, Kyle?
I just want to ask that the, I think as far as the Rosecrans contract, it says includes a subcontract with the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, and I was just wondering what that.
It's been there a while.
That is for a benefits case manager. And
Chris.
Yes, and he works with the criminal justice population.
Cool. And I just want to point out that this is the other or renewal category, and one of them has the word family in their title. I feel like that would be more appropriate in the family section, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oh, he thinks this should be in another category.
Okay, that's your
Yeah.
And any other comments for you on this tier, either of you?
Well, I guess I wasn't aware of the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers connection, but I heartily support it, and I am very glad that they are doing that, and I'm glad to be aware of it.
Okay, I don't have any questions about this tier. Joe?
No. Also glad to be aware of healthcare consumers being involved.
None.
Okay. So we've gone over the recommendations for our programs, and then we can now move to C on our agenda, which I'll let.
So
C is related to the final decision section.
Oh, I thought maybe you wanted to speak about that first.
Oh, sure. You want to?
Okay. Either way, but Tom.
Yeah.
Can either Lynn or Mark remind me what was our recommendations for last year? What was the total? Do you remember?
It's at the top. It's on page 77, in the first line of the decisions section.
Okay.
approve CCMHB.
Okay.
So we approved $3,822,642.
The point of asking that question, which I should have known, is that we seem to be growing.
You have a very big projected increase here.
Very big. Yes.
My thought was that the other category that we look at is the collaboration with the CCDDB. There are three programs, but that's also our number C on our agenda. And I was just thinking that maybe Lynn could address all of this, and then we could go around and ask and see if anybody has questions on the funding recommendations for those.
Okay. Well, we list the SILA commitment on this decision memo, even though it's a commitment that was already made, because for the purpose of calculating the DD amount of mental health board allocations. So it's only in there to make sure that I don't miscalculate. The calculation is based on the anticipated levy increase, so which is higher than usual. So you had about $686,000 to spend on DD, maybe. I mean, it's still a guess, but that is my best guess. $686,000 to spend on DD services. So the SILA is $50,000 off the top, leaving just about enough to take. We have right now some different programs that you're funding in FY18, which are DD services. They're two community choices program and a DSC program, which all are serving primarily adults. And then the Head Start program for social emotional development or social emotional disability services. You've had that one for a few years, and then the DD board funded it for many years before that. So I like the idea, and so it was really nice that the numbers worked out too, that you would have both of the early childhood DD programs on the mental health board roster. I think that's nice because you have so many other early childhood and then child and youth services all on the mental health board. So I was really happy to see that the numbers fit. And then even happier to say that the applications are really quite good and both of these programs perform really well. We have the CLC plan reviews are in here too. Chandra is not with us this evening, wanted to be, and I think wanted to share some gratitude that the board was also concerned with the quality of the CLC plans. She is not worried about working within, there's no problem too big for her. So we just happen to have some really good CLC plans here. But the applications, the content of the applications was actually really good too. The social emotional disability services program is asking for a relatively large increase, but for many years, the program manager and supervisor have told me that these children and their families are dealing with much bigger problems each year. They're presenting a lot of mental health needs too, which is why they applied for mental health services, and I feel very strongly about that program too. So I think this would be a really nice set of programs for you to fund together. And we didn't even have questions for these two, other than why the increased revenue request for one. So we didn't have questions. The DD board did not have concerns about either of these applications either. So those are, if you have, I just thought you should be able to see them.
Yes. So maybe, and Kyle has left not to return, right?
Yes.
So okay, so maybe I could, for this grouping, at the top of page 79, just ask, given those remarks by Lynn, does anyone have an objection to this funding for the SILA, which is our previously approved commitment, the Champaign County Head Start social emotional disability services and DSC's Family Development Center. Any issues with those that, where we do that? I certainly
None.
Don't have any. No. Okay. So, and in Susan's notes that she sent me, she did point out that we always spend about 12% of our allocation on DD applications. And
it's based on
your intergovernmental agreement defines this as based on the increase of the levy. Mm-hmm. So I think in the past I've been looking for about 16 or 17%, which is, you know, roughly it would be fluctuating between 18 and 16%. But then I read the intergovernmental agreement and I calculated it right.
Okay, so we're going to move on. We have time, I guess, to move on to the D item, which is the matching funds request for our Department of Justice JMHCP program, which we have funded in the past, but not last year. And I would wonder, Mark, if you could address.
We did put some language about this into the D memo, and just as Stephanie was putting these in the mail, we got additional information. So Mark has
put a concept paper on the table.
You have on your desk this evening a concept paper. It's the result of a meeting that Lynn and I attended along with some other stakeholders. And coming out of that meeting, the consultant that's been hired to write the application, based on their notes, pulled together this concept paper, which basically reflects the scope of work, the anticipated scope of work of the project. The main focus is, one, doing a risk needs responsivity screening as part of, in conjunction with the other two screenings that occur at the jail. There's a mental health screening and a substance use disorder screening that currently occur. Those are something that was instituted as part of the JMHCP planning grant that the county got 2 years in 2015. But in addition to that, also developing some support, crisis support services, a community support team to work with law enforcement in responding, doing follow-up work to crisis contacts that law enforcement has in the community to provide additional support to those folks experiencing having contact with the CIT officers. And it would be a mix of, I believe, two case managers and a social worker is what was discussed. And both of those, both the risk needs and responsivity screening and the co-responder approach with law enforcement and crisis are both identified needs out of the JMHCP planning grant that this application is a follow-up to. And then, of course, there's an evaluation component that would be required, and there is also a match required, a 20% match, and that is the question that is being posed to the board and is addressed on page 70 of your packet, about midway through, starting with the paragraph that begins, in addition to the application submitted, which basically describes what that commitment would be for the board. We do expect...
But it's just wrong.
Yeah, well, there is, in terms of the funding mechanism, there are some changes that are occurring there. Similar to the mental health board being asked at this point to provide the match, Champaign County, the county board is being asked to be the applicant of record. There is some similar information to the concept paper being presented to the county board. It may have gone to the county board last night at their study session. Okay. Then they have seen that. The funding mechanism, it's what Lynn is alluding to is actually how we would make the money available. And she's been in some conversations with the deputy county administrator, maybe the county administrator, about the county being the applicant, how, if we provided the match, how we would pay that match out. And it wouldn't necessarily be exactly the way it is described here or in the motion. We actually are already working on a revised language for this section of the decision memo, and then the decision, the motion.
We shared a preference for the mental health board would control the match. It would simply be drawn down from our funds as triggered by a payment or a billing, a qualifying billing. So it would be less than $50,000 a year for the 3 years. I mean, we don't even know right now what the match, what the high match would be, because the application's not finished for 3 years. But it would be a commitment of $50,000 each year, straight out of the contributions and grants line, and managed by our accountant, our financial manager. So if we can do it that way, and the question was, will DOJ allow for that mechanism? That would just be, I think that would be so much better for everybody involved, right? Like, because the last time around it was very complicated, and for the county deputy administrator of finance, whatever her title is, it was not an easy process. And so we're hopeful that this would be an acceptable process, because it'd be better for us too.
To any vote, is that next?
We hope next week.
Next week, mm-hmm. With everything else. Okay.
Yeah, the application to Department of Justice is due by May 29th. The notice of the competitive application, I don't think, was released until late April. So it's a very short turnaround.
Is that is a match? It can't be met with in-kind services, right? It has to be $150,000 in real money, right? You think so?
In-kind may be an eligible match, but that's I don't know that we're in a position at this point to identify what that in-kind would be.
Have they tried other agencies who might contribute to that match, and are we the only ones that can do this?
That came up at our meeting, and it's possible that some further discussions are being held in that regard, but I don't know that those commitments would be coming forth in the short time that we have available.
The request has been made before too, right?
Like, yeah.
It's an open conversation with a couple of other potential contributors.
So in the 3-year period, in the best of all worlds, our match could be reduced?
I would love that. Do you think it's likely?
I don't know the answer to that question. What I would say is that I think if we make the commitment to the match, then we are committed to that match. I mean, I don't know, but I'm thinking that if we say we're going to provide X amount in match, then we are committed to providing that amount. And then similar to what was the case with the planning grant, we made a commitment of providing a certain amount of match, but the federal money was not fully expended, so we did not have to provide the full amount of the federal match.
Okay.
even though we had said we would commit up to, I think it was $75,000. We did not, the full federal grant was not expended, so we did not fully expend the match in relation to the grant. The money did eventually get spent.
Do you think if we made this match, does that tie us to this program forever?
It ties us for 3 years, $50,000 for 3 years. After that, I can't say. We haven't been asked, well, I shouldn't say that. I'll just leave it at that.
Like whether we should consider this or not. I think we should consider it. If you look at a data collection and analysis and how comprehensive it is, and you know me, I'm not usually for spending money. So I think we should strongly consider it.
Dan, after we're asking after 3 years, then does this kind of thing get taken over by the community, or it goes away, or you don't know? Just
well, that's where I wasn't. The question of sustainability, I don't think came up in the meeting. The board making the commitment for the match does not mean we're bound to support the project after that.
I wasn't really so much asking about our monetary commitment as just what happens to it, to the program itself, if there's a future.
Obviously, I don't know the answer to that, but if you look at... I think if we look at how comprehensive the data will be on this and the analysis that it will help the Mental Health Board in decision-making in helping these individuals. I think it's so comprehensive.
To Lynn and Mark, do you understand how this program will result in lower rates of incarceration? I understand of, you know, we should get these people and not just put them in jail, but we should deliver these services. But they are still subject to be convicted of something, right?
Well, with the...
But why would they be called if they hadn't, if we didn't think they were...
Most of the crisis calls...
Yeah, Lynn's right. I mean, that's one of the things we see with the CIT data. The idea of the co-responder model is to connect people to services and resources and to keep them out of the criminal justice system. And as Margaret points out, that there'll be some pretty robust data collection associated with the project to demonstrate its effectiveness. We have something, we don't have the kind of data at this point that this project would generate, but the board is currently funding something a little bit like this up in Rantoul, where the case manager follows up with families and individuals that are having some kind of crisis-related contact or domestic-type contact with the Rantoul Police Department. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was adding the risk needs responsivity screening for people entering the jail That's going to identify those that are at greatest risk of recidivating and then be targeted for services. So hopefully for that population that is involved in the criminal justice system, you'll see some reduction there.
We should.
Yeah. I think the focus on the law enforcement and the crisis and the community support approach with the crisis team, hopefully, and only time will tell, hopefully will show that there's a reduction in people ending up in the criminal justice system. Right now, with the CIT data that we're getting, and I speak to this a little bit in my staff report, that it's showing a very low percentage of people who are having a CIT contact ending up in the jail. But one of the discussion points we had at the last CIT steering committee meeting was about that it's possible that people being arrested are not also having a CIT, even though they're having a CIT contact, the CIT form is not being completed, so it may be underreporting that rate. And I believe the Urbana, Melissa Haynes from the Urbana Police Department, who does the data collection, is going to be looking at that question. Lynn has also asked, and I believe we're going to be getting it, is a full year's data analysis on the CIT data. And we would have that.
We got permission.
Yeah.
They said they'll do it.
And so we would be getting that. That would likely be part of some of the data that's included in the needs assessment. So. But these are very good questions, and until you have the data, I can't really say, oh yes, this is going to reduce.
So. I just have this.
My other question would be, how would this tie in, because I know it uses team members, Rosecrans team members for this, and some of it is similar to what we're providing through crisis access and benefits, I think. That's similar crisis response. So is there, would be there?
What this, I believe, is going to be doing is more intensive follow-up after the crisis team and the law and the CIT officer have been involved with the family or the individual. These folks will be involved in follow-up to work with the family to connect them to services. Do you have any better sense about that? I mean, you were at the meeting and the discussion. So.
That sounds right.
Okay.
We're talking.
I think we were talking pretty quickly because we would need to respond to this really quickly about a few different models that, are held in high regard. And so this choice was the most likely to succeed for the agency, law enforcement, and us.
And this would be a resource that's made available to, I think, Champaign, Urbana, and the sheriff's office.
Okay.
the county.
Yeah, I guess I have a, I don't understand what this program really is just from reading this material. And I'm understanding that it's a three-year grant for $750,000 with 150 of it coming from local and 600 coming from the federal. I got that. And it's going to do something, some kind of crisis intervention team using Rosecrans employees to help the police. Is that right? That the police would call the crisis team? I'm just trying to understand what the program really is. Or I don't get what this program is from reading this. And they're saying 50 individuals to be followed. I'm looking at $250,000 a year for 50 individuals for I'm not sure what they're doing. Even if they're creating good data, I would like more information. Does that make sense?
Well, there may be more information by next Thursday, but or by next Wednesday, but we certainly won't have more information than this when we create the board packet for you tomorrow. So maybe we do need to bring the freshest info that we can. We don't know that the request will be as high as 750. I think this was just a draft of the ideas. But yeah, there's a lot more detail that we maybe will get lucky.
So because you've been involved in this long term, then, and I don't know if you'll make a suggestion to us, we should do, on because it sounds like you're thinking this could be a successful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think that's the most important thing since we don't know all the details of it. It's your judgment telling us what's important. Thank you.
And we have had more information in the past,
yeah.
Right, because this is come up before, so if we looked back somewhere, we'd have it.
So just by coincidence, today is National Stepping Up Day. And we've been involved with the Stepping Up initiative for a few years, and I had to, in spite of my best efforts to dodge them, I had to go on TV twice today to talk about it. So it's really fresh in my mind that, you know, as tough as that may be for law enforcement to deal with, that the fact that they are often the first to discover a person who's in crisis, they are. And they're at this point in history, like, turning into some of the most important advocates for a community behavioral health system because they now recognize they can't be that. So recognizing that, and also in recent conversations at and after the last coalition meeting, I'm really feeling the importance of there are people who are just not well enough to say, I need some help and make the phone call and schedule the appointment and make it to the appointment and participate in a healthy way, that there are people who are just really just well enough to get found by the police. And then if we are able to put some competencies from community behavioral health into that situation as quickly as possible, we might see better outcomes for some of these people. And, you know, we talk a lot about people who are incarcerated who have behavioral health conditions, but looking at that CIT data was really compelling, and it has not changed. The really profound aspect has not changed. Every time Melissa tweaks the data or improves it, it still pops out that the by far the biggest problem they're called to deal with is suicide. We really don't need to have police doing all the follow-up on that when we have such a resource-rich community. So I think this could really be a great opportunity. I appreciate what you're saying about it is not clear how it would work or how many people it would serve or what the headcount works out. And I think that we will probably get more of those details. We just unfortunately don't have them today.
Do we have any more discussion on the information we have about this agenda item? Well, anything about this matching funds request now that we can do at this point with this information? No? Okay. Well, then we have just board announcements left on the agenda, but Margaret, you wanted to...
I just want to thank the staff for the incredible amount of work they did. And I also want to encourage agencies, as we look at this and questions asked, the importance of, and I know it's tough in the mental health field, but just the importance of data and following through with what you plan to do. But it's important for us data-wise to see how many people agencies are serving, and not just did I see them at a health fair, you know, long-term, and what are the outcomes. So I just want to thank you guys.
I think we all second that.
You've made us a better board.
Yes. Yes, you have.
Really?
You have.
Feels good.
Mm-hmm. Are there any board announcements? Then...
I second that.